Once again, this is Jim Rao, your host, coming to you from Momias, Kenya, and I praise the Lord again for a beautiful day today. I pray that you have a great day today and this message finds a home in your heart. If you have your Bible there, turn it to Mark chapter 11, verse 13. We're going to start looking at prayer. This will be a two-part or three-part series on prayer. And what exactly is prayer? Well, if you have been a Christian for a long time, if you've had a relationship with Jesus and with the Lord God Almighty for a long time, you know prayer is the vital link between yourself and Jesus and the Lord. You know that prayer is the link. It is the communication avenue by which we talk to the Lord, by which we relate to the Lord, and we also position ourselves before the Lord, because prayer is a positioning before the Lord God Almighty and before Jesus Christ. And so prayer is asking for things, it's thanking the Lord for things, it's praising Him, it's forgiving others, it's the avenue, the connection, the circuitry that allows us to communicate with our Creator and that spirit man, beloved, that spirit man inside of you that is created in you when you're born, when God breathes His breath into you at the time you were born and His life into you at the time that you were conceived. That spirit man in you wants to communicate with God. That spirit man, say spirit man relating to women also as well, that spirit man in you wants to communicate with God. It wants to be in communion with God. It wants to be in unison with God. And it is through prayer then that we position ourselves and we relate to our Creator and we communicate and stay in touch. Prayer is vital to the Christian walk. It's vital to each and every Christian person. It is vital to your existence. It is vital to your thriving and your blessing. It is vital to your well-being. If you don't pray, you need to pray. You need to set time each day and pray to the Lord. You need to set time aside and get off by yourself into your secret place and just spend time in prayer and in thanksgiving and in reading God's Word. And when you do that, beloved, you will be blessed and you will feel better about yourself. You'll feel better about your walk with the Lord and you will move forward in your kingdom pursuit. We're going to start in Mark chapter 11, and Jesus is with the disciples. He's coming out of Bethany, and he's very hungry. And it says in verse 13, "And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see it. Perhaps he would find something, that is, he would find some figs on it that he could eat. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, but it was not the season for figs. And in response, Jesus said to it, 'Let no one eat fruit from you ever again.' And his disciples heard it." Verse 21, "And Peter, remembering about the fig tree, he said to Jesus, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away.' And so Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God.'" Well, I'm going to stop right there. Jesus was hungry. He was looking for the fruit on this fig tree. He was hoping that fruit would satisfy his hunger. And yet, when there was no fruit on the tree, Jesus spoke a curse against that tree. And I don't think we can take any doctrinal statement from this that somehow Jesus is against his own creation. That's not what he was doing. He was just showing his power to the disciples. He was showing his power, that he had power over all creation, that everything in creation was in submission to him, that he had authority over every single thing in creation, and that's what he wanted to show the disciples. And he also wanted to show that there was a lesson to be learned from this, that things in his creation that he has created, he wants them to bear fruit. This is God's plan, that they bear fruit and they provide fruit. And it's not necessarily fruit to eat in our lives. The fruit that we can bear is to go out into all the nations, or even go out into the neighborhoods, or go next door and share the good news of the gospel. That is the fruit that we can bear. And we'll talk about the fruits of the Spirit coming up here in just a little bit, because those are also the fruits that we can bear and show that God is productive in our life, that we are in submission to God, that we are in submission to His authority, to His direction, to His leadership, and to His lordship. And so God wants you to bear fruit, and that is His expectation for you. And sometimes, beloved, people are taken out before their time. Even the Lord God Almighty can take people out before their time because they're not bearing fruit. I believe that I've seen that happen in my day. And so it is God's will that you bear fruit and that you understand that God and His Son, Jesus Christ, are in authority over everything in creation, and that includes you and me. Well, verse 22 again, Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God." Well, why does He start off this teaching on prayer by saying, "Have faith in God"? Well, two things. One, He just cursed that fig tree, and He showed the disciples that He believed that His words have power. That was His faith. He believed that His words have power. When He spoke those words, the power that God had given Him, the authority that God had given Him, was then spoken over that fig tree, and His words came to pass. And then secondly, He's saying, when He was getting ready to teach on prayer, He's saying, you must have faith in God. There's no point in praying if you don't have faith in God. God doesn't need our prayers. That's not why we pray. God doesn't need our prayers. He already knows our needs even before we speak them. So He's not waiting up there for us to speak our needs so that He knows what our needs are. No, that's not the situation. God already knows what you need. Even before you speak one word of your prayer, God knows your needs because He can see the end from the beginning. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He knows every situation forwards and backwards. He's omniscient, and so He's all-knowing. But He wants to hear that you acknowledge Him as God, and He wants you to acknowledge Him as the creator of the universe, and He wants you to acknowledge Him as the facilitator of prayer and the facilitator of the things that you desire in your life that are in accordance or in within the will of Jesus Christ and within the will of God. And so Jesus starts out this teaching on prayer, and He says, "Have faith in God." Verse 23, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." And so this is the core teaching of what Jesus is saying here about prayer. He's saying, when you pray, when you come to me, and you say, "I want this mountain to be moved in my life." And by the mountain, Jesus isn't talking about the Rocky Mountains. I think He's pretty happy with where the Rocky Mountains are. So it's not too likely that if you pray against Long's Peak or you pray against Mount McKinley that it's going to move anywhere. That isn't what He's talking about. There are occasions and there are times when volcanoes blow off or when there are earthquakes that mountains may shift just a little tiny bit. They said Mount Everest dropped just a few inches a few years ago when they had that great earthquake in Nepal. But for the most part, the mountains are there and they're going to be there even if you speak to them. But what He was talking about was the big issues, the problems that you have in your life. You know, there are problems in every person's life. We all have our troubles. We all have our trials. If all of our troubles were hung on a line, you would take yours, I would take mine. And so we know that we're going to have troubles. And sometimes when we get focused on those troubles, they just grow and they grow and they grow. And we can't find a way out. We can't find a way around them. We can't find a way under them or over them. And so those problems just start to look like a big mountain in our life. And so when Jesus is talking about speaking to the mountain, He's saying, "Be removed and be cast into the sea. And if you do not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you say will be done, he will have whatever he says. And so the first prerequisite, back to what Jesus said at the start of this teaching, the first prerequisite for having your prayers answered and knowing with confidence that God has heard your prayer and knowing with confidence that he has answered your prayer is to first have faith in God and secondly, believe without any doubt that you will have whatever you ask. Verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you have received them, or believe that you received them, and you will have them. Well, if you knew before you prayed that the thing that is a mountain in your life, that situation, maybe that person, maybe your boss, maybe your wife, maybe your children, maybe a situation that has to do with your finances or an addiction that is bringing you down and causing you all kinds of chaos and turmoil and heartbreak in your life, if you knew before you prayed and you knew before you asked God to remove that mountain in your life, if you knew for certain that God was going to do that, wouldn't you praise God? Wouldn't you praise him if you knew that the answer to your prayer was going to be a yes and according to God's will, that he was going to accomplish for you exactly what you were asking for? Well, if you knew that before you prayed, you would spend a lot more time praising God. You would spend a lot more time thanking him than you would pleading and begging and crying out to the Lord with the idea that, God, you don't hear me. God, you don't care about me. God, you don't love me. God, I've been crying about this situation for months and years now, and you still have not responded. You have not reacted. And so I'm getting very frustrated. I'm getting very angry with God, and I might just quit believing in you because I never hear from you. Well, that's the attitude many people take, and it's not the right attitude, beloved. You just have to thank God, even when you don't see your change coming. If it doesn't come today, maybe it's going to come tomorrow. If it doesn't come tomorrow, maybe it's going to come next week. If it doesn't come next week, maybe it's going to come next month or next year. It's okay. It's okay. Just thank God. Just praise him and thank him. Say, Lord, I know in your timing this is going to come. I know in your timing this is going to happen. Even though I don't see it, I don't walk by sight. I walk by faith. Even though I don't see it, I know it's coming. And so I'm going to thank you and I'm going to praise you and I'm going to give you all the honor and the glory that's your due, even though I'm waiting and I'm waiting and I'm waiting. But in the meantime, I'm going to be busy about the kingdom. I'm going to gather and I'm going to bring others into the kingdom because I know that my answer and my change is going to come. Well, verse 25, Jesus jumps into another subject here that is also linked to prayer. And this subject is a big subject. We'll preach on this in another session that has to do not only with prayer, but just within peace of mind and getting rid of bitterness and anger and doubt in your life. But Jesus jumps into this because it is tied to prayer. It is linked to prayer. It is linked to God's giving us the desires of our heart. It is linked to God's answer to our prayers. And Jesus says in verse 25, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. Well, again, if you have anything against anyone, if I was preaching to you in the church, I would say, all right, everybody, say anything against anyone. Beloved, that means even small things. If you have small things in your heart and you have that against somebody and you're holding that bitterness and that anger against someone, maybe it happened long, long ago. Maybe it's something that happened to you when you were a child. Maybe it's things that happened to you by friends or parents or relatives, or even though it had maybe happened a long time ago and that root of bitterness now has crept down, way down in your soul. Jesus says, if you have anything against anyone, forgive that person, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. And so Jesus links this to if we do not forgive, then he links it to our Father in heaven who will not forgive us because we are holding this ought, we are holding this bitterness, we are holding this unforgiveness, and it eats us up inside. It causes turmoil, it causes cancer, it causes all kinds of physical problems, maladies, ulcers, high blood pressure. God just says, and Jesus says, let go of it and let me take care of it. Let go of it and let me have vengeance on whoever hurt you. Let me discipline whoever hurt you because my judgment, my justice, my vengeance is perfect. My timing is perfect. I know how to pass out judgment, and I know how to pass out discipline. And so the Lord says, if you do not forgive, then your Father in heaven will not forgive you of your trespasses. And so it is very important when we are praying, when we are trying to communicate with our Father, and there seems to be a blockage, and you don't see anything happening in terms of response from the Father, you don't feel any intimacy with the Father, with Jesus, you don't feel any intimacy with the Holy Spirit, and you have bitterness and you have anger, it's very likely you're not in church, you're not in a fellowship, because you may be bitter about the church. Still, by the grace of God, by the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, by the supernatural grace of God and His mercy upon you, you can forgive. And beloved, let go of those things. Let go of those people that have harmed you, and let go of those people that are still bothering you in your mind and attached to your soul, and just let go of them and bless them and say, Lord, I pray that you bless those people. I'm going to turn them over to you, and your judgment, your discipline, your justice for their life is what they need, and it will be perfect, and I acknowledge that for them in their life. Well, beloved, without faith, back to Jesus said, have faith in God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, for those who come to him must know that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so, beloved, we have to stretch out in faith. We have to exercise our faith, and just like you pray believing that you have already received, you're not seeing what you're asking for yet, but you believe that it's coming. You believe that it's in the future. And so that is what is called faith. You believe in faith that God is going to bless you. You believe in faith that God is going to give you what you ask for. And faith is a conviction of things not seen. It is the substance of things hoped for. And so we hope for those things and we believe that they are coming. We believe that they are there even though we don't see them. And so that is faith. And Paul the apostle, the writer of Hebrews, says those who come to him, those who come to God, must know that he is. And so you don't see God. You don't walk outside your door and see God. And you don't see him sitting there on your front porch. You don't see him even in church. You don't see God. You see manifestations of God, manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And you don't stand in front of God and see him, but you believe that he is there. You believe he hears your prayers, and you believe that he answers your prayers. And those who diligently seek him, when you seek God, then he will reward you. Beloved, there was a time when I was fasting and praying, when I first started to preach in the prisons and first started to minister. And beloved, I was just asking the Lord because I really didn't know what my full calling. I didn't know what my full destiny was. I knew that I wanted to preach. I had a desire to preach and be an evangelist, but I really didn't have any idea what that was going to look like here on this earth. And so I asked the Lord a very simple prayer. Lord, show me your way. Lord, would you show me your way? Show me. Lord, When you show me, I will be obedient to you. I will be obedient and I will walk in your way and I will move forward with haste. And so when the Lord started to open up doors for me, first to go to international places to minister in Mexico, Costa Rica, and places like that, I started to go. And whenever God opened the door, whenever God gave me an urgency or an unction in my spirit that I needed to go somewhere, I just asked the Lord, Lord, show me if this is where you want me to go. God always confirmed it with dreams or visions, or somebody came and gave me a spoken word to confirm it. And so I have been obedient to the Lord, and God is no respecter of persons. He will do the same for you that he did for me. He is a rewarder. He will reward you with a great kingdom walk when you diligently seek him. When you diligently seek him, he will reward you in ways you can't imagine. You'll start to see your loved ones then also seek the Lord. You'll start to see people that you pray for get saved and people that you pray for get healed. You'll start to see an anointing increase on you because the anointing comes from obedience, and that anointing that increases on you, then you can use that to pray for other people. You can use that to cast demons out of people. You can use that to pray and lay hands on people and pray sicknesses off of them. The gifts of the Holy Spirit will be given to you. All kinds of rewards will come to you because God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Well, beloved, I'm going to close here with John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 13. And this is in line with what we've already been talking about. And that is, if you pray in the will of God, if you pray in his will. And you might ask, if you're a newbie Christian or you haven't had much of a prayer life, you might ask, well, how do I know what God's will is? Well, beloved, that's why we have the Holy Bible. Pick it up and start reading it, especially the New Testament. Read the words of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the gospel accounts of Jesus' life, and then read the book of Acts, read the book of Romans, and then all the letters that Paul wrote. And you will find out what the will of God is for your life. It will not be a mystery to you. You won't have to rely on Facebook or what the boys down at the coffee shop say that they think God's will is, or what the politicians think God's will is, or what the psychologists or psychiatrists think what the will of God is. You read God's word and you will know beyond a shadow of a doubt what the will of God is and what his will is for your life. And then from that, you can even get more specific. God will give you dreams and visions and revelation and spoken prophetic words that will refine it even farther so that you can know in great detail what God's will is for your life. But here's the scripture, John 14, verse 13. And whatever you ask in my name, Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. 1 John 5:14. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Well, beloved, that is very comforting. If we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Well, beloved, that comes after you've gotten to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That comes after you've spent time with him in prayer and in fasting and in study of his word. That comes after you've been in a relationship with him for months and years and decades. And it comes that you know when you ask for something in God's will and ask for something that you know is in the will of God for your life and for his kingdom, he will give you the petitions that you ask. Well, beloved, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We invite each and every one of you to partner with this ministry. We need your prayer support. We need your partnership to further the kingdom work here in Africa, the Children's Home Project, the Crusades, And we have many projects going. We have a church, the Living Water Fellowship, out of Makunda Village in Kenya. And so there are many projects here. There's times when we are restricted about what we can do for the gospel here because we're short on funds. And I pray that you would come alongside this ministry, pray with us, support us, and we thank the Lord for those of you who have already done that. And we invite you to participate with us as we take the good news of the gospel to the nations of Africa. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for contact information. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.